H910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The deal President Trump had been seeking with China has apparently been reached. ABC's Rachel Scott's traveling with him in South Korea.
The president walked out of this nearly two-hour-long meeting with Chinese President Xi to announce that a trade deal has been reached. The president had threatened 100% additional tariffs on Chinese imports, which would have raised the cost on everything from clothes to electronics.
China's agreed to buy more American soybeans as a part of the deal and to lower export controls on the rare earth minerals it sells to the U.S. Five more people are now in custody. That makes seven in all for the Louvre jewelry heist, but the jewels are still missing. There was a deadly barrage in Ukraine overnight. More than 600 drones and missiles fired from Russia all across the country. President Zelensky says many of them were shot down, but some did get through. At least 30 deaths across the Caribbean from Hurricane Melissa. And this is day 30 of the federal government shutdown. Government workers still not getting paid. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to consider donating deer they harvest to the agency's deer donation program. According to a press release, the program has been stocking venison at food pantries across the state since it began in 2000. In that time, over 100,000 deer and 4 million pounds of ground venison have been used to help area residents in need. Hunters interested in donating their deer must field dress it as they usually would, test it for chronic wasting disease, and contact a participating processor. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced a preliminary injunction blocking the U.S. Department of Education from cutting funding for school mental health grants, reinstating funding that had been discontinued earlier this year. According to a press release, the injunction is the result of a multi-state lawsuit filed in June, arguing the agency's decision to cut congressionally approved funding for the grants was illegal. In a statement, Attorney General Call said the ruling was a win for the safety and well-being of students in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Two Northwest Wisconsin Emergency Response Departments have received grant funding for purchasing new equipment and upgrading their technology. The grant funding came from Compeer Financial's Fund for Rural America. In total, over $200,000 of funding was awarded to support 54 emergency response departments from across the state. Among those were the Spooner Fire District, which purchased a new fire hose with the grant funding, and Gordon-Wascott EMS in Douglas County, which purchased new carbon monoxide detectors. The Spooner School Board adopted a $19.8 million tax levy for the 2025-2026 school year at its meeting last week. Officials say the district will have a balanced budget for this fiscal year, allowing them to better plan for expenses like infrastructure maintenance and educational programming. The tax levy does not need to be finalized until the school board's meeting on Friday. District officials also expressed concerns about another decrease in overall enrollment, an issue that many other public schools across the state are struggling with. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
A big game for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee's 3-1 after beating the Knicks Tuesday night. Golden State at 4-1. College hoops, the Badgers men's team over the UW-Platteville Pioneers, 69-53 in a charity exhibition game at the Kohl Center. NFL, Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week after throwing 20 consecutive completions Sunday night. That tied a team record set by Brett Favre in 2007. Baseball, Blue Jays beating the Dodgers 6-1 in the World Series to go up 3-2. Trey Yesavage on the mound, striking out 12 batters, breaking a record for a rookie in the World Series since Sandy Koufax in 1963, who was sitting in the stands.
Historic stuff. That stage and his numbers, it's one thing to be in the zone, and it's another thing to be in the zone and get some swing and miss.
That's Blue Jays manager John Schneider with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Some fog this morning, but that will burn off here later today. But we will stay cloudy with a high right around 48 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop to 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers, maybe even a flurry mixed in, with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Matt Nair on air.
Also, I wanted to share real quickly just a text that came in from Andrew in Maine. One of the many favorable features of Civic Media is the various hosts' willingness to engage listeners via texts, calls, comments, allowing a feeling of conversation instead of being talked at. Thank you, Jane, Greg, Board Lord, and Dan, along with the rest of Civic Media staff and admin. Thank you so much, Andrew.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Thursday morning, October 30th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Coming up, we will have an expert on Medicare Advantage plans. It might not be for you, but it might be for an aging parent who's considering one of these so-called Medicare Advantage plans as opposed to traditional Medicare. Oh, is there a difference? You might want to get a little educated on that. We're going to try to do that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk about some new extensive polling through the Marquette poll. Not your usual horse race numbers about candidates, but more about what people in Wisconsin think about the issues. And at some point, we'll talk about the UW-Eau Claire College Republicans and a stunt they pulled, and just how sick I am of the feigned outrage when racist activity gets called out. You know, it used to be just your crazy uncle, or I'm sorry, your eccentric uncle, who would start everything with, "I'm not a racist, but," and then they'd go on and on and on. That seems to have infected a larger part of society. Like, oh, it's not racist to, you know, dress up as an ICE officer and then somebody else dresses up as a Mexican woman and you're arresting this person. There's nothing racist about that. Please tell me you don't really believe that. Anyway, 855-75-CIVIC is the number, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app as well. You can call us or text us. You can leave a voice note as well. And now, we've got new accounts on social media just dedicated to the show. So I will say that there are Civic Media social media channels, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and all that. Up North News, of course, has a Facebook page. There's also, you know, again, Twitter and Instagram and all of that. But now, just for this fine little radio show, we've created an account on Blue Sky for all the nice people that want to follow us. And we also create an account on what used to be Twitter X for people that just want to scream at each other or whatever it has become. In both cases, they have character limits on their names. So, like, you can go to Facebook and you can look up our show page there. Just look up Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That's the name of the Facebook page, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. That doesn't all fit in Twitter or Blue Sky. So it's PK Radio Show. Again, PK for Pat Kreitlow, PK Radio Show. And that's how you find us on Blue Sky and Twitter X, whatever it is, where we will put up show clips and invite you to interact with us there. But of course, you can just do it in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube while you're watching the show. Or you can send us an email, if you're old fashioned like that, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. In sports, we had the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, Parker, defeating Platteville, last tune-up before the regular season begins. 69-53 was the final. You were saying that the Badger men didn't look as dominant as you thought they might have going up against a WIAC school?
No, yeah, Platteville kind of gave him a little bit of a hard time at the first half or so. I do think it's probably worth pointing out, though, that it is not entirely unheard of for a Division III school to actually do like really well and beat Division I schools sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
That's probably not quite as true for a major team like the Badgers, but it certainly happens. You see it a lot, men's and women's basketball.
But Platteville, they're no schleps. I mean, they're capable of providing at least a little bit of a fight. And so I think when we refer to this as a final tune-up before the regular season, I think that's the right way to put it. They see this team and go, all right, well, before we take on fellow Division I teams like the Fighting Camels of Campbell University next Monday,
heck yeah,
we better get ourselves ready. So it looks like they finally did. And in the World Series, the Toronto Blue Jays beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 6-1 to lead the World Series 3-2. So the World Series goes back to Toronto for game 6 tomorrow, where Toronto could seal the deal. Or if the Dodgers win, there will be a deciding 7th game, I'm assuming on Saturday as well. And then that will wrap up the baseball season for 2025. Now we can get into anticipating 2026, which is part happiness and part which players are we going to lose?
Yeah.
To free agency and things like that.
Yeah, I don't remember who I read it from, but I read somebody say the other day that they like really think that the Brewers could be onto something and like really investing in the future right now and have a really good 5-year span coming up here.
I sure hope so. I don't want to hear, you know, the rebuilding thing. Rebuilding. Yeah. Nobody rebuilds. You know, you either have the right people or you don't. And sometimes they're because of a heavy payroll with a lot of experience, and sometimes they're young and just really good because you did a good job of scouting. And hopefully that's where the Brewers are on that. But first, we got to get through the rest of the World Series Friday and perhaps Saturday as well. All right, there's a new Marquette poll out. And as you know, during the height of election campaigns, I tend to not get too worked up over polling because polling can be all over the place. A good reputable polling company works hard to have a representative sample, a good cross-section of the public. But even then, it's sometimes tough to match with how the results are going to turn out on election day. So I don't emphasize it as much there. But in this case, I mean, we are so far away from the election that it's a lot about familiarity with candidates and familiarity with issues that I thought some of these were interesting enough to share. The Marquette poll interviewed 846 Wisconsin registered voters from October 15th to the 22nd, and a margin of error of 4.5 percentage points. And I'm going to stop right there just to say this is how much polling has changed now from the olden days. In the olden days, you would do a poll in one night, and you would get that representative sample because everybody had landlines, everybody answered their phone. And, you know, a lot of people talk to that. Now nobody answers their phone if they don't know who it is. And that's why it took a week just to get 846 registered voters in Wisconsin to answer the phone and answer these poll questions. So the margin of error, 4.5 percentage points, seems a little broad, but that's kind of the nature of polling these days in the cell phone era. Anyway, this new poll finds that a large majority of both Democrats and Republicans have not decided on a favorite candidate for governor for next year. No big surprise. In fact, only 6% say they have heard a lot about the 2026 campaigns for governor. I would include every one of you listening right now. You're probably hearing more about the 2026 governor's race than almost anybody else, including some of the people who are running for governor. But you are familiar. You've heard all of these names that I'm going to be talking about. And as far as recognition goes, now this is recognition, not support. In terms of recognition, Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley is tops on the list at 26%. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 25%. State Representative Francesca Hong at 22%. State Senator Kelda Roy is at 17%. Now, these all make sense because they're from the Milwaukee or the Madison areas. Then you've got lawyer Missy Hughes at 16% and others lower than that. But now you ask them, well, do you have a favorite? Do you have a candidate you would vote for next August in the primary for governor? Well, among the Democratic voters, 81% said no. 4 out of 5 said no. We're practically a year away from the primary. What are we talking about? However, of those that do have a preference, well, if you get the emails from State Representative Francesca Hong, you've seen the subject line, Francesca Hong in first place in polling for governor at 6%, and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 4%, David Crowley at 3%, Senator Kelda Royce at 3%, Missy Hughes at 2%. But again, 81% are undecided. So if you're Francesca Hong, you take the little victories where you can because you have both recognition and support from people. And if you're some of those other candidates, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royce, you know that you got a little bit more work to do to build your recognition and build people who will actually commit to say, this is my person for next August. There will, of course, be a Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in April 1st next year, and the two candidates there have very little name recognition. There's Waukesha Appeals Court Judge Maria Lazar, who has 15% name recognition, mostly among conservatives, I would imagine, and Madison Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, 16% public recognition, again, I would assume mostly by liberals and progressives. However, despite the lack of knowledge about the candidates, 7 out of 10 voters said they are absolutely certain to vote in April when that Supreme Court seat will be on the ballot. When people say, why do you love living in Wisconsin? Well, I mean, it's the fall colors, it's the lakes, it's all the sights, it's the cheese, it's the old fashions. But it's also the fact that we have people all around us who will tell you, I don't know much about the state Supreme Court race yet, but I know it's important enough that I'm going to vote. I'm going to learn about the candidates as we get closer to election, and I'm going to vote. That is a level of civic engagement that you do not find in all 50 states. And I love that about this state, that people actually do care. They care enough to want to learn about the issues and the candidates and go vote. They don't all do it, and I don't agree with all of them, but they at least take the time to do it. On national issues, will President Donald Trump's policies increase inflation? 57% say yes, while 30% say his policies will decrease inflation. Okay. And 12% say they'll have no impact. There are, of course, substantial partisan differences. 60% of Republicans say Trump's policies will decrease inflation, which again tells you there is a very broad and effective right-wing media bubble in this country. Meanwhile, obviously 96% of Democrats think his policies will increase inflation, but what about independents? 69%. 7 out of 10 independents look at what the president's doing and understand that it is increasing inflation. Now, Trump does have his supporters. There are 33% out there who say the tariffs will help the economy. 55% say it will hurt the economy. And once again, you've got a majority of independents who say, no, tariffs hurt the economy. Asked if tariffs are helping or hurting Wisconsin farmers, well, 16% say they are helping Wisconsin farmers. That is truly Donald Trump's base right there. The 16% who say that tariffs are helping the farmers. 62% understand that they are hurting farmers. Overall, voters are evenly divided over which party is most responsible for the shutdown of the federal government, which again tells you that right-wing messaging is effective. I'm not really happy with the wording of the response here by the Marquette poll people because they lead saying 33% say it's the Democrats, but it's 38% who say the Republicans. So I don't know why the Republicans weren't listed first. 38% Republican, 33% Democrat, 28% saying both parties are equally responsible. Now, at the heart of the shutdown, should the increased tax credits that help pay for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act marketplace be extended? 58% of respondents in Wisconsin say yes. It's basically a 60-40 split. Obviously, more Republicans believe the credits for health insurance should expire. These are also folks who have not yet had to go through what so many others have gone through and understand the importance of having these premium tax credits continue to keep health insurance affordable. We will talk more about the affordability of health insurance with an expert about Medicare Advantage plans coming up in 15 minutes. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new study from researchers in Oregon. They found women living in areas with heavy emissions from cars and trucks are more likely to develop breast cancer. The Trump administration recently rescinded EPA rules meant to reduce vehicle emissions. Wisconsin's small farming communities bracing for the end of federal food share benefits. Not only do thousands of rural residents rely on federal food assistance, about $120 million of Wisconsin's food share benefits are spent at local farmers' markets. Bragging rights for Wisconsin apples, an organic orchard in Washington County named one of the top 10 apple orchards in the country by USA Today. Peck and Bushel Fruit Company in Colgate is the largest organic apple orchard in the upper Midwest. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More with Pat Kreitlow on the way here on the Buzz of the North. A Thursday, Joel and Gray, they allow us to still be in the building, so we sneak in and turn on the microphone, and we talk to the Hayward area about, yesterday turned into a SpongeBob day.
Down here in the deep blue sea. I've been holding it for minutes now.
I went home yesterday and asked my wife, I said, what do you think the number one cartoon is for kids that also parents like? And she, after about 5 seconds, she said, got to be SpongeBob. And I said, you nailed it.
For my era, I think nowadays it's Bluey. And watch out, Joel, we're about to talk cartoons again. Yeah, you have opened this.
So today we're going to talk about why some sports are more popular than others. Why is it? Is it the actual sport itself? Is it just the way it was introduced into our social patterns? That I'm convinced that hockey might be as popular as like basketball, and hockey's fairly popular, but ratings wise not. That hockey might be a pretty popular sport. It's just that I think it was a little late to the party.
Yeah.
I think it's just a little bit late behind football and behind Bird and Magic. And boy, there was some good entertaining hockey teams and players that came around in the 2000s, 2010s, but you know, we only got 24 hours in the clock. We got to sleep eight of those at least. So they might have been just a little bit late to the party of how much time I have to watch sports.
If you've got a multi-sport relative or loved one, you know, if you're not a sports person and you know that the person you're thinking of follows multiple sports, if one of those multiple sports is either hockey or soccer, you've got like a fanatic on your hand. Because you know, if it's football and basketball, throw in baseball, any number, two or three out of that triangle is like, yeah, that could be, you know, I like football as much as you like all three of those, I think I would say. But you throw hockey in there and it's like, nope, different level. That's like a graduation. That's like college of sports. If you're going that far. If you follow Major League Soccer, I want to know what you're made out of and what you eat in the morning.
I mean, it's the southern part of the country is big in soccer because obviously the dynamics of the people who live there. There's a lot of people that have immigrated from Central America and stuff. So it's a natural thing that soccer would be more popular down in Florida and southern parts. But what puzzles me about soccer, even in Hayward and our area, is that it's still a very popular sport here for the youth. I mean, when the youth are playing, I don't know if because it's just a good way for parents to say, go get some exercise, run around out there a lot. I don't know if that's it, but it's still a very popular sport with young kids and young rec programs.
I think it's partially, first off, I agree. I've seen the same thing. I've seen a marked popularity that stands out to me because it wasn't there when I was that age, or at least I didn't notice it maybe because of local limitations. But still, I theorize that it's because of parents. My kid wants to be in a sport, or I want my kid to be in sports. Either way, there's a push from behind my kid towards sports. Then you've got a series of questions. What sport am I comfortable with my kid playing? And right off the bat, soccer is a phenomenal choice because of the rules around contact. Even basketball is arguably more physical. Now, yeah. Do you use your body more in basketball than soccer? I think a debatable answer is probably not. But are you throwing yourself at somebody as much? Certainly not as much as football or wrestling, which I'll give you, wrestling's injury risk is low, though the contact is high. No, I would point to soccer as one of the most active, least risky.
And at a young age, soccer is a sport where you can throw your kid out there with the mindset of, well, my kid doesn't seem to be very coordinated or doing much, but they can still go out there and be a part of it and not stand out maybe as they would like on a basketball court where it's just like they throw them the ball and it's like, oh, my gosh, you ran with it five steps and then you decided to dribble. But soccer, it's kind of a way to throw your young kids out there and just have them linger by the dandelions over in the corner for a while and just, you know, be a part of it.
Soccer's great for that. If your kid doesn't see the ball all game, they'll still look like they were involved. Basketball, it's like, how many minutes you got? You did what? Like, it stands out. But soccer, that's a bunch of kids standing in a field. Like,
yeah.
They'll do that anyway. By the way, briefly, soccer, the word, it's the English people's fault. Not that I've ever heard one of them complain about us calling it something different, though you will hear those goofy arguments. They brought that term here. They used to call it association football, and then they abbreviated the word to a sock.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason why soccer is popular around the world, because it is the one major sport where no matter where you live or what the economy is around you, you could be in the poorest parts of the world, but you could still develop a soccer skill with, even if you don't have a ball, if you just tied together something, and you could still develop soccer skills and be a good soccer player without any investment, really, at all.
It might be the true poor man's sport. I mean, like, again, you could go back to wrestling and competitions like that, but I think more people are interested in not sheer physical pits of strength like that. But like, you're right, you can imagine most of what you need for soccer, and even though the same is kind of true for baseball
a little bit,
like, immediately the bat and the gloves are like, you can get by without, like, you got a stick and hopefully something soft to hit with it because it's gonna hurt my hands. Like, you can work around a lot of shortfalls, but like, you can't I mean, sure, stuff some rags in your pants and you can play flag football. I guess that's a little closer at hand than I thought.
But you
might
still
be.
Need somebody. I mean, soccer, you can just do it yourself. You can develop the kick the ball and balance the ball.
Oh,
you can develop all those skills.
I didn't spot that you were driving towards that aspect of it. You could truly do some real soccer skill growth alone. I didn't notice that.
I don't think there's a teacher alive that hasn't seen that kid come to school at some point with a ball, like with a soccer ball or something, just kind of goofing around with it.
It's impressive.
Juggling, whatever it may be, that's kind of part of their life. And that happens more, I think, in other parts of the world than it does the U.S., where, I mean, you can develop, you can't simulate an 80-mile-an-hour fastball coming at you. You need somebody to help you with that.
Yeah.
But with soccer, you know, you see some of the moves on the top 10 plays on ESPN, that crazy things that some of these guys, and most of those are skills they could have developed without anybody else's help, just them.
Not that you can't develop other sports skills, but you're right. Soccer stands out to me that, you could sit there alone in a phone booth and actually get something done with the ball, you know, and improve in some way.
You can bicycle kick anywhere you want.
Now I just got to find a phone booth.
Yeah. So enjoy the time. I say any parents listening, try to enjoy the time with your kids if they're involved in sports. And if they aren't, well, enjoy that extra time because they're not involved in sports. We all know the days of sitting there outside soccer, football, you're cold. Pat Kreitlow's coming in next here on the Buzz of the North, WBZH.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 96.9 WBZH. 28 days and counting, that's how long the federal government has been shut down, tying up not only federal agencies like the U.S. Department of Agriculture, but also policy advancement like a new farm bill. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. The National Farmers Union thinks that the farm bill can cross the finish line yet this year. Details on that next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/line of credit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
Wisconsin native Mike Strands is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. Their focus right now is on key policy priorities, including the urgent need for a new farm bill. Strands, who's vice president of advocacy, says several critical policy issues are still unresolved, and the organization right now working to make sure producers' voices are heard.
Given the circumstances with the farm economy, that yes, there should be some sort of assistance provided to family farmers and ranchers because of the trade disruptions, but that ought to be part of a greater picture about farm policy reform and farm policy improvements that could happen through a farm bill negotiation that might happen here this fall. We've heard Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, G.T. Thompson, speak about his interest in having a farm bill markup in the House side. I think moving forward with something like that is a great opportunity to make some of these changes, and we ought to take a look at the whole picture.
That's Wisconsin native Mike Strands, who is the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. He says given the fact that the farm bill has expired already, it's the third year in a row where that's happened to the farm bill. He believes that there's an opportunity by the end of this year or early in 2026 to still get something done on the rest of the farm bill.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick? How did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill? Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
And 10 Wisconsin FFA members are continuing in competition at the National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. They are now a part of the final phase of evaluation for National Agricultural Proficiency Awards. You want to follow along? FFA.org has the latest update. There's your look at food news. I'm Pam Yonke. Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
Some fog this morning, but that will burn off here later today. But we will stay cloudy with a high right around 48 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We're going to drop to 31 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some scattered showers, maybe even a flurry mixed in with a high in the mid to upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:20, I'll be joined by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call. We discuss his lawsuit joining with numerous other attorneys general to restore SNAP funding and make sure Americans don't go hungry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back at 7:35 on this Thursday. Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, it includes more of your favorite photos of Halloween decorations. We talk about your favorite Halloween candy. There's also a link where you can help with food banks that need to stock their shelves with SNAP benefits running dry during the government shutdown. And there's an article there today on Wisconsin farms where you can spend the night as part of agritourism. Again, for that and more, subscribe to our newsletters. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more about the weekday newsletters and our weekend newsletter as well. All right, let's talk healthcare policy. Okay, I heard everybody going for the radio dial. Don't do that yet. When we talk about healthcare policy, making sure that you can afford to get sick, we want to make sure we draw a distinction of what we're talking about here. Medicare, which is for seniors by and large, versus the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, which is the health insurance coverage that you can buy through the marketplace. That's kind of at the heart of the government shutdown. And we've covered that before and we'll come back to it. But this is primarily about Medicare. So there is also an open enrollment period going on right now for Medicare, especially for people who, instead of being part of original Medicare, want to purchase health insurance through a private insurance company through something called Medicare Advantage, which says it covers a few more things, and it might, but there are also other things to be mindful of when you're comparing these Medicare Advantage plans to traditional Medicare, either for yourself or maybe for an aging parent or somebody that you're a caregiver for. And this time of year, there's always people who are either choosing a plan for the first time or they've been on a plan and that plan is being dropped or modified and they want to compare plans again. And they don't want to get ripped off in the process because there are also scammers out there. And so to that end, we wanted to find somebody that could tell us about, you know, the best way to go about all of these things. And that's where we found Ingrid Cunninger, who is a fraud and abuse programs manager for the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources and also something called the Senior Medicare Patrol. And she joins us this morning. Ingrid, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure having you here to talk more about this because it can be, so very confusing. You know this firsthand. I hesitate to wonder how many people have just given you that look like, just please help me pick something. It is so convoluted. So let's start at the very beginning here before we can get into Medicare Advantage. Do you want to add anything to my distinction between original Medicare versus these Medicare Advantage plans?
No, I think you did a great job of outlining that. It's really important for people to understand that they do have a choice and there is a difference. Oftentimes when we're talking to people who are already enrolled in either original Medicare or have a Medicare Advantage plan, they're not even really sure what plan they chose or what's going on. Just like you said, it's complex. There's a lot of ins and outs about that, and it's not always easy to understand. So it's just really important for people to take the time to learn more about all of their options. And right now is a great time to do that.
And people who are first eligible for Medicare, they hear about, you know, traditional Medicare or original Medicare, and there's a lot that it covers, but there are also significant things that it doesn't cover because, I mean, like prescription drugs, there are a lot more prescription drugs now than there were 60 years ago when this all first got started, when prescription drug costs, they weren't nearly the same concern 60 years ago, were they?
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. There are definitely a lot more medications as well as diagnoses that people have that require additional treatment and therapies that, you know, Medicare, original Medicare or traditional Medicare may or may not cover.
And so that's what led to the creation of Medicare Part D to help cover these things. But there was also then the creation of, you know, so-called Medicare Advantage for these private insurance companies to bring plans in. What are the kinds of things, you know, on the pro side of the ledger, what are the things that they tout as reasons why you might pick a Medicare Advantage policy over original Medicare?
Sure. I think some of the things that they tout are things that you mentioned. You know, Medicare, original Medicare doesn't cover certain things, and Medicare Advantage plans, because they're able to privatize that, are able to offer additional benefits. So oftentimes, you know, dental insurance might be an additional benefit in a Medicare Advantage plan, or hearing aids, you know, those sorts of things that impact older adults or that older adults are often looking for or needing assistance with. And sometimes those Medicare Advantage plans do offer those additional benefits.
Yeah, there's vision. There's sometimes, you know, discounts for, you know, fitness programs and gym memberships. I mean, there's a lot of commercials out there on the TV this time of year, Ingrid, touting all the things that make their plans, you know, so wonderful and so worthy of choosing. But of course, what they're not going to put in the commercials is that, you know, there's also on the other side of the ledger, there may be certain, you know, restrictions. What are the things that people should be most cautious of or do their homework about when it comes to the things they don't talk about on the TV commercials?
Absolutely. We always say if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So as all of these television commercials are touting all of these great benefits, there's also teeny tiny fine print scrolling at the bottom that outlines a lot of things that aren't covered or outlines additional eligibility requirements that people might not be aware of while they're considering that plan. So it is really important to read the fine print or get more information about those plans that kind of pique your interest or seem to have some benefits that you think would be beneficial to you and your healthcare in the coming year. And just to be really careful about those things, because oftentimes people don't read the fine print or don't realize that. And if you're working with, you know, a large insurance broker from who knows where, not anyone local, they may or may not have your best interest in mind. And they may not point out to you that you'll have to choose a different network of doctors, or the medications that you're currently taking won't be covered or will be more expensive to you in the coming year. And oftentimes people don't realize that until they go to the doctor for the first time in the next year, or go to the pharmacy to get prescriptions refilled, and suddenly are stuck with bills that they weren't anticipating and hadn't planned to have to pay.
We are talking to Ingrid Cunninger from the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources and the Senior Medicare Patrol. And I'm going to sound like such a weirdo here. Ask 100 other people what was the news story that most shocked them this year, and they'll tell you a lot of the usual suspects. But for me, it was this story that I saw a few months back. The amount of senior citizen medical debt is soaring. And that doesn't make sense at first blush, because you think, well, wait, Medicare, I paid my taxes all my life. I've got Medicare. It's going to cover things. I'm going to get a Part D drug plan, and that's going to cover most of the things. How can this be? And you read deeper into the article, and it's all kinds of folks on these Medicare Advantage plans who, between the deductibles and the copay, or deciding to go without because of previous denials of care, they're suddenly racking up all this Medicare or medical debt. That is extremely shocking to me to see that happen to the senior citizens of the United States. So to me, it was just a very cautionary tale, not only to pay attention to what the private health insurance companies are saying, but also I would assume the potential for scammers and others who want to take advantage of people in the system as well. And as the fraud and abuse programs manager, that's something I'm sure you're watching closer than anybody else.
Absolutely. The amount of Medicare-related fraud, errors, and abuse is astounding. With the Senior Medicare Patrol, we focus primarily on educating Medicare beneficiaries as well as their advocates about how they can protect themselves from Medicare-related fraud and scams, as well as how they can detect and report that. And the estimate right now is between $60 and $100 billion per year is just frauded the Medicare system. So to answer your question, absolutely. There are a lot of bad actors out there looking to take advantage not only of older adults, but of a program that older adults really rely on to provide their health insurance coverage.
How did the scammers tend to do this? Is it like a phone thing where they're calling people and making some kind of a hard sell on them?
Yeah, primarily the scammers do operate via telephone, and there's a couple of different ways that they do that. The first thing is that they're looking for people's Medicare numbers. So they may call and say that they're calling on behalf of Medicare, and they just want to make sure that you've received your new Medicare card. Well, if you didn't receive a new Medicare card recently, you might be caught off guard and think, I didn't know I needed one. And then that person on the phone is going to be so happy that they called you today because they're going to be able to take care of that. They just need to, here comes the catch, verify that information, and they'll go ahead and get that new Medicare card issued. Well, here's the thing. There's not a new Medicare card. And Medicare is not calling people. So that's something for people to remember. Not a new Medicare card. Medicare is not going to call you. So what happens then is that the people that have gotten that Medicare number share it with other Medicare suppliers or equipment suppliers. Anyone who's willing to make suspicious or fraudulent claims to Medicare on your behalf. So then what happens is that you receive your Medicare summary notice and you notice that Medicare has paid thousands of dollars for orthotic braces or catheter supplies, a bunch of things that you didn't receive, were not ordered by your healthcare provider, and now Medicare has made payment for. And that's where the billions and billions of dollars rack up.
We are talking to Ingrid Cunninger from the Senior Medicare Patrol. Senior Medicare Patrol, SMPWI.org is the website. And you've got some articles in there about how this is really the time to double check your plan, even if you're happy with it, so that you can compare, you know, apples to apples. So between that website, SMPWI.org for Senior Medicare Patrol, Wisconsin.org, and Medicare.gov, how important is it to be proactive rather than wait for somebody to ring your phone?
It's very important to be proactive. And as you mentioned earlier, this is right now, we are in Medicare's open enrollment period. So every year between October 15th and December 7th, Medicare beneficiaries have the opportunity to, as you said, review their plans for this year, see what changes their plan might have in the works for next year, and then look at other options. That's a great benefit that people have the opportunity right now to review plans and see if there might be something out there that is more beneficial to you. Maybe there's additional benefits. Maybe the cost is different. Maybe your health situation has changed and you need more coverage or less coverage. And so now is a great time to do that. And I would really encourage people to, I know I said it goes until December 7th, but don't wait until December 7th, especially if you're looking to connect with some of the unbiased resources that might be available in your community to kind of help you sift through all those things. They get really busy right now with helping other people. So please don't wait. And if you do get a phone call and someone is starting to pressure you about making a decision right now or offering extra benefits, if you sign up today on the phone, take a deep breath, hang up the phone, and find someone who can help you not feel pressured into making those decisions. Because that's a big decision to make. And you want to make sure that you've, you know, done your research, asked the questions that you wanted to ask, and feel confident, not pressured in the choice that you make for your healthcare coverage for next year.
Ingrid Cunninger is the Fraud and Abuse Programs Manager for the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources and the Senior Medicare Patrol. Ingrid, thank you so much for all this valuable information. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Still ahead, we're going to be talking to Sean O'Malley about a potential big bubble in the markets all around artificial intelligence. Stick around for that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
K Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 1944, when Franklin Roosevelt said he would run for a fourth term, discussions began on a constitutional amendment to limit a U.S. president to two terms in office. In 1951, the 22nd Amendment was ratified. Now, a Tennessee congressman wants to repeal it. Would it actually be possible for Donald Trump to be president again? January 23rd, Representative Andy Ogles introduced a joint resolution proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the United States to provide that no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than three times. While the resolution received a lot of attention, constitutional amendments require a two-thirds majority in Congress and be ratified by three-quarters of the states, neither of which is likely. Trump himself has flirted with the idea of staying in the presidency. The Hill reported Trump told GOP leaders, quote, "I suspect I won't be running again unless you do something. Unless you say, he's so good, we just have to figure it out." A recent Politico article explained another scenario where a loophole in the 22nd Amendment could allow another presidential candidate to run with Donald Trump as vice president. The new president would then step down, allowing Trump to become president again. A 1999 Minnesota Law Review article discusses this and other such vaguely legal maneuvers as well. Unlikely, yes. Out of the question, no. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, WBZH, on a Thursday edition here. We're going to warm up a little bit this weekend, Gray. I think we might get up into the 50s for some Halloween celebrations this weekend.
My sense of entitlement demands it. I feel owed comfortable temperatures now in this month of October.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool, damp, wet week here. A little introduction to what's coming, but we'll be all right.
Well, yeah, it goes in the right order, though. If the rain is coming, give me first. You know, I'd rather eat the frog, they call it. Get it done early.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit today about No More SpongeBob. We did that yesterday.
No comment.
So today I'm going to talk a little bit about how, and I've tried to convince my wife to come on the radio with me and do like a daily or weekly segment about bargain hunting, about stretching your dollar, about making it go farther. It's still possible. We know that grocery prices are crazy high. We know you go to the department store and the cost of a pair of jeans or t-shirt are all double and everything's more. But I will say this, that if you are, if you're consistent in going after it, there are still bargains and a way to cut your monthly or weekly bill, but you got to go get it now. All right, you got to go get it. You got to use the apps and you got to use what the flyers or the dot coms. It's there, but you got to work for it, the bargains, right?
Well, and working for it means something different than people might think too, because the first thing I think of is like, yeah, you can still do it. And you're right. You got to go through these apps. You got to hunt for that percentage deal and sort the list of Amazon goods that you're ordering the right way. But at the same time, all of those things that offer you those opportunities, it's not just a newspaper coupon anymore that I can use and be done with. In many cases, I found that I'm giving my phone number or my email address. And yeah, I'm pretty freely giving my email address away these days, specifically because I have a junk email. If you have my email address and it doesn't have my name in it, you don't actually have any way to contact me. So, like, I've got a certain layer of separation from it, but at the same time, I still end up with more spam calls because there's so many data brokers out there that they can probably figure out this random one-off email is, in fact, associated with the same guy whose phone number we have from these other interactions. Because all these people are on the same team and I'm not, and they like to call me. So it's like, what am I actually paying? And here we get into the great soapbox that Gray likes to occupy. But no, the bargains are still out there. I fight myself more than ever. You know, I already didn't clip the coupons.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, I got to actually go uphill to do this.
The apps are the modern day coupons, and there's some good ones out there. There's some really good ones. I'll if they want to pay me later, they can with a free donut or something. But two or three that my wife and I have found are really good. Number one is Quick Trip. Quick Trip app is awesome. If you take the time to put it on your phone, you can get a lot of free stuff and a lot of discounted stuff. That's a good one. Another real good one is McDonald's. If you go to McDonald's app, there's a lot of savings on there.
Yeah.
If your Big Mac meal is costing you $10.80, I can guarantee you on your app, you can probably get it for $7.
Yes.
And that's just a small sample. There's small businesses that are easing into this, hometown businesses also that have apps or websites. So it's there. They're not all good.
Right.
There's some big company apps I download and I look at it. I just said, you just want me to use this to order. That's it.
Yeah.
You're not giving me any incentive. You're not giving me a percentage off. And usually I'll just delete that app off my phone. But there are some really good ones out there.
Well, in many cases, at the risk of sounding like the cynic, I know who I am and what I'm about. I will always be super shady about these kinds of interactions because, yes, I agree. I love getting that burger for $1.50 like it's 2005. But at the same time, I'm also cognizant of the fact that next week that $1.50 is going to become $1.75. And eventually the deal disappears right about the time that I'm really used to getting a Big Mac every Tuesday. That's how they roll. I mean, and it's super simple. They don't even need a human being to decide on the pattern to follow. Now they just, hey, watch Gray, little AI machine, and you decide when to pull the plug on his little freebies. It's not even people most of the time. Why do I know that? Because I have common sense.
Yeah.
You know, you're not even dealing with a human being in this adversarial situation. And the thing that stands out to me, like with the free coupons, again, I will use them. But in the 21st century, when something is free, the user is the product. Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah.
That stands out a lot to me. And I don't like feeling like the product. Even if I'm not actually giving something up or losing anything in the transaction, just the knowledge that two parties are exchanging some aspect of my life and the other one gets money, it's like, I'll say the word. That smells un-American. Like, I get really bothered. It's like, mm-mm.
So here's the question now, okay? So let's say, for instance, let's say you like chicken noodle soup, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're a big fan of chicken noodle soup. So you download an app or whatever you do something on social media that tells social media, I like chicken soup.
Right.
So now, of course, when you go in, now you see chicken noodle soup ads. You see, hey, come to X and X grocery store, 2 cans of chicken noodle soup for $2.50, all these ads. So some people will say, oh, they're stalking me. Well, why are they doing that to me? On the other hand, you look at it and say, you know what? I do like chicken noodle soup. And I appreciate that you're giving me a pretty good offer on this thing. So I guess you have to look at the positive sides of the negative too, right?
Agreed, 100%. I think the my feelings on how problematic this is have a lot to do with what the item is. Because chicken soup isn't about to overthrow anybody.
Don't talk to the chickens.
Do I make my point there? You know, like if what you're pushing towards me is chicken noodle soup, okay, fine. But if what you're pushing towards me is, hey, we heard you discussing the stages of your life with your girlfriend. Here's a wedding ring ad. It's like, that's my choice. Stop it. Like, and it should only be my choice.
Well, it always goes too far.
Yeah.
That's the American way. That's the human way, right?
Right. And even I recognize that there is a place for some rather invasive methods of advertising and finding things. And of course, first and foremost, I signed off on these things when I agreed to the terms and conditions. Layers and layers of me agreeing to these things that I'm talking about not liking. So that's just something I think we need to have a conversation about. I don't know that we need to make any changes, but I think we all have to decide how are we going to exist in this new circumstance that will not be going anywhere.
Yeah, it is kind of frustrating if you go on a computer, a website, and say, and even look at like a snowblower. Well, you know what you're going to get for the next month.
The existential cost of coupons.
It's all coming. But if I get a good deal out of it, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm just like, hey, I'm all right with that. You told me about a good deal. See, Gray doesn't like that.
Joel just got added to a list right there. There it was.
I did. No, I don't need a snowblower. Facebook Reels.
Where's my tinfoil hat? Give me my hat.
More of the Buzz of the North coming up. Pat Kreitlow's back in just a moment here on WBZH. It's 7:59.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Improving relations between the world's two largest economies could drive trading on Wall Street down today. ABC's Rachel Scott traveling with President Trump for his first big meeting in South Korea overnight.
The president's entire trip here in Asia was building to this high-stakes moment, this face-to-face meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi. After months of going tit-for-tat on trade, the president announcing a one-year truce.
The Dow futures are down 200 points. President also saying nuclear weapons testing will resume for the first time in 3 decades, saying that the only thing that will put the U.S. on an equal basis with Russia and China is that. One thing not resolved in talks with China, issues related to TikTok's ownership. Haiti, Jamaica, Cuba picking up the pieces after Hurricane Melissa's destruction. There were at least 30 deaths across the Caribbean. This is day 30 of the government shutdown, with federal food assistance benefits set to expire on Saturday. This is ABC News.